Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. This is episode 542. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Thank you, Justin! It's always a pleasure to be on your show!
Kevin is live in a hurricane on location. And we're having some weather in Southern California.
It's been really memorable. I'm going to survive.
Well, we had a solid run, and you will be sorely missed. I think that's all I have to say.
I regret everything.
Classic. Who doesn't love these new mics you got?
I know, right?
So good.
Well, one is new. I mean, the other one.
But they're very, very professional,
right?
Very professional. You could do professional voiceovers out of here.
I do.
You probably could.
I do.
You could, though.
I know. And I will. You know what? I'm going to try.
Okay, that's what I want to do.
I am going to try.
Browbeating you my bits. Doom, 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 doom. So much to talk about.
These microphones are so nice, by the way, that I don't even need this almost $1,000 studio, regardless of my mortgage. I can do the same level of recording in a hotel room.
Well, that's true, but a hotel room's quiet, and they're built. They have insulation.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I couldn't do it in my house.
Yeah, you couldn't do it in your house.
I couldn't even do it without all this acoustic foam in here because it's an echo chamber.
Right.
But I put carpet on the floor. I put the whole foam up.
When I was trying to turn our little study into a recording room, I kept wanting to put a rug up on the wall because I know that really significant. It's a cheap way to really eat up sound,
yeah, especially if you back off, like if you don't attach it to the wall, but.
Oh, thank you for the water. Wow, it was terrifying, but thank you. Yeah. Natalie, everybody.
She comes in here quiet, like a ninja.
Talking about quiet room.
Yeah.
People can sneak up on you. Oh, that was sweet of her. But Kat, my wife, would not have any of it. Like, did not want...
No rug on the wall?
No rug on the wall.
No packing blankets?
Nope, nothing. And several times...
What does she think goes on in your room?
Many times since then, she's like, we were in an Osh home and garden, and they were having a blowout sale like 90% off because they're liquidating the store.
Of packing blankets?
Of everything. And so they had like nice rugs and stuff. She's like, oh, did we want a rug for something? So the only place I've ever wanted one was for the wall when I was trying to make the room a studio. I didn't finish the sentence. She goes, no. I got it. No rug on the wall.
But...
I don't know what.
This is marriage in general. Like, this is not me going after your wife.
I know.
This is...
Your wife just brought me a cup of water. So.
Why does she care if you hang a rug in your room? Isn't that weird?
That's part of it is that I've worked really hard to make it not my room, because it really was my room for a while.
Now you have a desk in there for her.
Yeah, I put a desk in. She hangs out in there, and the kid has stuff in there, too. So it's
but it's also...
Like
it's not
room.
Like you're saying, I want to hang a multiple-man tapestry on the wall. You're saying, I need to do some recording
and that actually
that could potentially increase our checking account.
Like, I wanted to turn this third room into a usable space for something that would be efficient. Like, it would be no different than if I was a painter.
Right.
If I was like, I want to put some canvas in here or sewing or whatever.
See, I deal with that in my marriage where Natalie likes to go out to eat, and I go, we don't have money for that. You know what I mean? Now, she's also not the wife who throws it back in my face, but I have learned to argue with myself in our own arguments.
Nice.
So I say, now I know I will go and spend $300 on a microphone, and that may not make sense to you, but the things that I buy potentially make me money.
Right.
The things you buy just satisfy your stomach for 4 hours.
Yeah, like Taco Bell.
And then you close the day by eating a bowl of Fruit Loops. Not real food.
Maybe you wouldn't be hungry to go out and eat if we had more vegetables at dinner time.
Yes.
Meanwhile,
that's
your son
me,
was eating.
Because I cooked him.
Ah, there it is. Yeah. He was eating vegetables. He had a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
No, he had a candy. Three Halloween pieces of candy.
He finished off we had very little steamed vegetables left after dinner, and he was eating them with a yogurt land spoon.
I think he's figured it out that he's like, you know what? I get what I want when I play their stupid game.
No,
I just have to eat your stupid veggies. He's sitting on your lap, giant smile on his face. I'm eating veggies. Yay.
Yeah, but he just likes veggies.
My parents love me.
He still hasn't gotten over his own ego. Because here's the thing: I had an argument with him this morning where I said, "I go, we gotta go.
Yeah,
get your ass in the car.
Right.
Let's go." And what I also love is, this might be my own head or whatever, but in Los Angeles, I think that counts as abuse.
Probably.
And so he starts crying, of course, and then I said, he goes, this is where I think I'm fine as a father, but I know other people in this area might go, wow. Is that he goes, do you want to know why I'm crying? I go, not right now. We got places to be. You can tell me in the car.
No, I think that's important. Right. That's important. Because he has to learn that the world doesn't stop for him.
Right.
That this isn't his own Lifetime TV right. made for women.
And he's not, here's why I think people think I am abusive, is that he is an unbelievably well-behaved boy.
Yeah,
unbelievably. Just the sweetest, kindest soul you'll ever meet. And so a normal person would be like, that's enough.
Yeah.
But because of where I was, how I was raised and who I am, I'm like, well, let's see how much further I can push
it. Yeah.
I will.
Well, and listen to the meta message behind that. I'm doing something and you're not getting the reaction. I'm not getting the reaction from you that I was expecting.
Right.
Don't you need to give me the reaction I was expecting? He's crying. So he's like, I'm crying, so you should care.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing this. So you should care. You're not caring? Okay, let's talk. Wait a minute. Don't you want to know? Because he doesn't know that that's something that they put in horror movies. So the kids are like, don't you know? Don't you care that I'm crying? He doesn't know that. He's just like, don't you want to know why I'm doing what I'm doing?
Well, my thought was, is that, because I don't think he's that curious about how people interact. My thought was that he was looking at it going, because sometimes I'll go, why are you crying? Like, that's always, when he starts crying, I go, why are you crying?
That's what
I thought.
Yeah, it's conditioned.
I don't necessarily think that you're wrong. I think
it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah,
there's two cups of mayonnaise in this mix.
I think he was trying to play me to say, you know, like, because he started doing a little bit of the, face.
Yeah.
And then I'm a bad father because I'm like, I don't like that shit. I just
and I push his little five-year-old head down.
It's time to knock it off.
Did you solve it by buying him a Skylander?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
All of our problems are solved by purchasing some kind of form of plastic. That's in his mind.
That's good.
That's the other favorite thing that you deal with as a child, and hopefully you won't. But
we don't have the money to.
Neither do I. Yeah. But he does the every commercial is, I want that.
See,
I want that.
We're game with that. The reality is, though, no disrespect, your children own a lot of toys.
Yes.
You've given away buckets. We literally do not have the money for that. Like, we literally cannot afford to make that mistake. So we will not. That's the problem we will not be having in our future. That being said, I have no doubt that he'll want things. I want things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not an income thing.
Yeah.
It's because they're not aware of. There's such a disconnect now and everything. And I think this ties into something that I wanted to talk about on this episode, too, where it's like even Carolla was talking about on his podcast where he said that it's hard because not only does he work in a lifestyle where he's not digging ditches. So he's not coming in like the old guys would come in from the coal mine with coal dust all over their faces. And so the wife was like, holy crap, he almost lost his life. I need to have a hot meal ready for him when he walks in the door.
Yeah. He's breathing carcinogenics.
Yeah, he's just out talking for a living, but making gobs of money.
Yep.
And then you add on top of that that it's not even cash when she goes to the store or gets a pedicure. Yeah. She just carries around this piece of plastic that represents all the money that he works for.
Yeah.
And she swipes it. So there is no connection at all. And so therefore,
magic pass.
Yeah, he said what kind of comes out of that is that she doesn't really appreciate what he does. In fact, she almost has animosity towards him because he expects things. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing. Yeah. And so there is that. I think
what he needs is a card that makes her perform the way he wants her to.
Ah. Like she has to do some loops to get jump through hoops.
No, I mean, like, so she has a magic card
that
gets her pedicures.
He swipes a card in her ass.
Yeah, and then
she does some kind of action, like dust a TV or something.
Exactly, like, I have my magic card.
Yeah.
Dust.
Yeah.
Dinner.
Yeah.
Fornicate.
Is it fornicating when you're married?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's still the same thing.
Oh, I fornicate so much.
Yeah. I think it just means sex.
Really?
I'll look that up later.
Well, I thought it meant, like, that's what I thought the whole point of it was, is that it was unwed sex. It was unclean sex.
Oh, I don't know.
That's what I thought fornication was.
We don't talk about it a lot.
It seems. In church or in your marriage?
Both. I mean, sex comes up, but the difference
between
how
many times in your relationship with your lovely bride has she said the word fornicate?
Oh, more than I could count.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we refer to it that every now and then. Like, oh, let's go fornicate.
No,
like,
you don't.
And we're like, do you mean go have ice cream? Because we also use it as a safe word.
Your safe word is to go have ice cream?
Yeah.
You need safe word for junk food?
No. So we used to live, we don't anymore, but we used to live with some diabetics. And when we wanted some ice cream, instead of making them jealous, we'd be like, do you want to go fornicate?
I don't know how much of this is a bit, but I love all of it. I'm on board for all of it. I want fornicate to be my crescent wrench of words. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the utility word for everything.
I just needed you to sharpen a pencil. You said fornicate.
Yeah. So.
I was looking for you,
honey,
to make some spaghetti.
What's for dinner? Babe, I have been fornicating all day long.
He was playing Arkham Origins.
I am tired of fornicating with Bane and the Joker because Bane has some venom in him, and boy, howdy, does it burn.
By that point, Natalie's just going, ooh. Yeah, exactly. I'll go make dinner. Whatever. Anyway, let's get into our show. We got a great show for you tonight.
This new thing. We got a great show for you tonight.
It's going to be really good.
It's going to be really good.
A lot of hot off the wire. I have got to talk about Skylanders. It's killing me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We've gone this long. No.
First, let me say.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I want to know what you had to say. So, a few weeks ago when we took our little break, when we took most of October off, we said the reasons why you were going out of town. I was playing Skylanders. Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Swap Force, right?
Yes. So great. Here's one of the most fascinating elements. And
he had so much to say.
I broke in the middle.
He was taken from us so early.
If I have a tombstone, I want a little button on it so you, when people come up, they're like, pay tribute to Kevin Miller, just hit it, and it goes,
bah, you bah, want a robot bah, rock fan?
Yeah, but it's me doing this.
Oh, you want...
Da-na-na.
Mark the time. Put a calendar date in for... Oh, how old are you, 35?
35, yeah.
What do you think? What's the average lifespan of a Miller? Morsham's go in their early 80s.
Gosh, I don't know. Well, my grandfather on my father's side died when he was like 60-something. But my grandfather on my mother's side was well into his 80s.
So we're going to go 70s.
No,
so
I think...
40 years, I'm going to make a note.
But see, I've got a... Yeah, it's kind of a buckshot, like a shotgun.
Episode 542.
Okay.
In 40 years, I'm going to go back and get at the 30.
Give me 40,
13
43
mark.
More years. Okay, so just guess my age. Thanks for not making it later today. This game is spectacular.
Really?
It is mind-blowingly.
Let's talk about
great.
Real quick, because we all know how much Skylanders hit you the first one.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you spent a ton of time gushing over Skylander Giants. Was it more of the same, just with bigger people?
Yeah. So in Giants, they had, the first game, they had 32 characters, and once I fell in love, my collector in me said, I gotta get them all. That I pressed into that hard when Giants came out, and I worked to get them all when they became available, which was no easy task, like doing what I called the Skylander loop, driving between 5 stores after work almost every day for a week, for several weeks, trying to find the newest release character. It got exhausting, and it almost made me fall out of love with the thing, to the point where when I finally got the last to be released character, Ningini, I felt like I was going into the off season of a hard sport. Like, literally, yeah. I was like, oh, this is it. I don't have to pick back up until the fall. So then now, Swap Force has come out, and they have streamlined their production. It is no longer yet has it been super difficult to find characters. I've found everybody that I've wanted once they've been released. And that is a godsend, like, to be able to enjoy the game, to buy the characters that you want to buy when they're available. Disney Infinity did the same thing. You don't want for characters. Like, during release, everybody was available in every store. You could find them just about anywhere you wanted. This is the same thing that's been true as of yet. So not all the characters are available, and that is okay. They're like, I would rather wait until they release it, that that be the reason why I don't have a character, not because it's not in a store, that they are constantly sold out.
Yeah.
They when they ship the characters to the to Toys R Us, like in a box, there will be six characters, and one will be the one that everybody, the new one, and then five of the same thing that's already on the shelf 1,000 times. And it just gets tiresome to like crawl over each other to get these characters. So I enjoyed Giants, and I played it through at least twice going through that game. But yeah, it was the same. It was both built by Toys for Bob. Both had the top-down view and the non-jumping ability. But once Giants came out, I never put Spyro's Adventure back into the console.
You moved on.
Because then there were 16 new characters that I couldn't play on Spyro's Adventure. So if I wanted to be a giant or if I wanted to be one of the new guys, they wouldn't work on the previous generation. So if I'm going to play, I'm going to play the latest one. Now Swap Force has come out and they have upped their game so hard, it is mind-boggling to think that I liked Skylanders to begin with, like that these two games,
so it's like a reinvention, a rebirth.
They're on a whole different level in terms of games to the first game. To the first two games that you're
this
like...
This is a new developer, right?
It's a new developer. But they had been developing all the mobile versions. So they developed the 3DS version. And they were doing the same characters. They had all the assets and everything. And they always could jump. So the Vicarious game for the 3DS, the characters could jump to begin with. But they were hard. They were hard games to play. I booted one up over at Christian's house. He had the 3DS. And he bought everything in one swoop. So I put my characters in there. And it was it's more cumbersome. Since then, I've read articles, and they made it clear that they knew that they were going to be developing the third title in the franchise before the first game was released. So while they were in development for it,
it was a three-picture deal, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, they knew it. They knew that this was the thing. And we saw hints of Giants in Spyro, so they knew that they had a plan to launch the next title a year later, and they've since said, you know, maybe that's a little hindsight's 2020, but the development for Swap Force...
Well, I think what it is it's like when you get a sitcom that's picked up, up with a season arc, but if you get canceled after 9 episodes, well, then nobody talks about how
that's
you
exactly
knew.
It. And had Skylanders not blown up as big as it had, maybe the second game would have taken 2 years, or maybe they would have canceled Swap Force. Well, you know, who knows? You're right. But one of the things that's cool, I read some articles where they were, so in Swap Force, the characters break apart into two halves, but they had done some earlier testing with it and had kids, they would break apart into three places, head, torso, and legs, and the kids weren't quite getting it. They're just letting them play test it, and they didn't understand that they could disassemble the character and reassemble them, and they came out and they're like, hey, see, check it out, you can take off his head and put on a different body, and the kids wigged out. They're like, oh, they realize, oh, maybe having a joint on the neck isn't a good place. Yeah. That's why it's at the waist and it's just tops and
Legend
bottoms.
Of Sleepy Hollow is a scary story for exactly. a reason.
Yeah, this headless characters, which I thought was the evolution, like I was like, oh, this is the evolution of the product. It's also really fascinating because the thing clicks together with magnets, which took some development on their half to figure out how to do that electronically so that the field of the magnet didn't interfere with the RF band on the portal itself. And they have this great article about how one guy clicked in his head one night and then took a little iPhone video of it and sent it to his friend that was a developer. And he said, neither of us slept that night because we knew, like, they were up for hours.
We figured it out.
Knowing that they had finally figured out technologically how they were going to, and it was like made out of paper mache, like raw clay or something. It was this hideous looking creature. And they're like, oh, but it works, and the fields work.
Mission accomplished.
So the gameplay, this is the thing. If you're listening to this show because you're like, I love me some Sly Cooper, and I think that guy's cool, and I love the franchise, you should be playing Swap Force. And I know you're not, because most of you are my friends on PSN, and this game has leaderboards, and I have no one to compare my leaderboards against. Every time you beat a level, I can compare my collections to someone else.
And it only works with your friends, essentially.
Your friends on the PSN, and nobody has, I'm the every level I beat, it's like, leaderboard, Kevin Miller, won. Where is everybody else?
What does this say? Like, to me, here's what I think. When I think of Skylanders, I think that you need, and listener, take this in the spirit of which it's intended. I think that you need some coin in the pocket
to
be able to invest into this game.
Yep.
So what that makes me think is, how interesting is it that a game with a fan base, a game about a good intended thief,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, that this isn't a game they go for. Like, I don't know. Am I saying what I'm saying is that maybe they can't swing the cash.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
I think there's a few other things at play. That Skylanders is directly targeted towards a younger audience. It was initially the audience.
The people that listened to this show were young when Sly started.
There it is. Yeah, you hit it. You stole my thunder. No, but the Swap Force, the gameplay is more difficult. Like, you could be pretty little and conquer Spyro's Adventure by yourself. And same thing with Giants. You could get through it on the easiest setting and a lot of characters.
My son and I have had little to no difficulty getting through the first Skylander game, except for the final boss.
Yeah, that game, the final battle. Stupid hard. Yeah. So Swap Force, you've got to be, like, the same kids that have been playing it since the first game will have no problem tackling this game. But if you're the age, like, of a five-year-old playing Swap Force or a four-year-old, it's going to be difficult. There's some three dimensions, and there's some challenging puzzles. Again, I have it on hard, but I know even without the hard, the geometry of the levels doesn't change.
Yeah.
And that's going to be difficult. For me, as a grown man, it's awesome because the first time I played it for the first half hour, it is as if someone had taken my PlayStation and then it cast a spell on it and molded it together and it reformed into a Wii. The thing is a Nintendo game from top to bottom. It's like playing a Nintendo game. It's so bright. It's so colorful. The characters are very Nintendo-ish. Everything about it screams like fun, youthful Nintendo world. And that's super great. And then the thing that's so fascinating about it, I thought that I would, there are 32 characters, 16 swappable characters that have a top and bottom that break apart and you can swap them around. 16 core characters, like standard characters, just like the original release, that don't swap. Yeah. So I made the decision knowing that the swappable characters, the top part has a weapon and kind of the character's voice, and the bottom part is how you move, and then the movements unlock different mini puzzles within the game. So, and there are 8 of those different varieties. They are not connected to the 8 elements that you are. So
it's completely separate.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing. It's randomized. So you have a rocket, and there are 2 rocket guys because there's 16 things. So one rocket guy could be cloud, could be air, and one rocket guy could be undead or whatever it is. And to play the game, it's another way of encouraging you to collect at least 8 of these style of characters, because there are 8 different unlockable zones, these swap zones to get into, that require different base legs. So even if you have a crap load of characters from the previous games, you still need these new Swap Force characters to access these mini games within the thing. And the mini games are wildly different. Like, it's a whole nother game within it. There are these great, like, Sonic the Hedgehog-esque racing games that you play. There are side-scroller modes where your character actually moves into a classic side-scroller game, jumping up and down on bouncing pads and collecting
coins.
Like
a Mario.
Exactly like old school Mario. There are these really interesting shift puzzles. We have to bounce around the map and try to get to things before the pads make you fall. There are like a ping pong level or pinball machine levels, all the different base. Then there's these really great ones where you're a driller and you just have to run around the base and try to collect stuff before the time runs out. It looks like something out of Donkey Kong. So it's gorgeous and brilliant and beautiful to look at. The cutscenes are very funny. They have a lot of returning cast, and I think they've kind of, it looks like
Carolla's
an anime film.
In the games.
Oh, is he really? Mm-hmm. Adam Carolla? Oh, yeah. Who does he play?
I don't know the name. Because he doesn't even know the name.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
I'll have to look it up.
Who he is. He didn't even know he's in Wreck-It Ralph, and he didn't even know what he was. He goes, I'm just a cop, and I think I'm a donut. I don't know. Until the movie came out, and he went and saw it, and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, that donut. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah. That's cool that they get who they want. So the thing that's fascinating about it, why I bring it up, is that I thought I made the choice that I would only be purchasing the swappable characters
the new core ones,
not the new cores, and I would wait until I got some Christmas money or birthday gifts or whatever, because they happen 4 days apart, and then say these are the other things so I can round up my collection. But I'm gonna spend my hard earned money on that, and that's gonna be it. And then one day, I was in my room, and I looked down, and I saw I had a cup of coins that I'd been using for a change drawer. And I was like, well, this is just sitting here collecting dust. I'd rather Skylander sit on the shelf and collect dust. So we walked this cup of...
One-Eyed Willie's treasure.
Totally! It was, and I took out a bunch of quarters for meter money to throw in my car, and I had over $60 worth of coins sitting in this thing. I was like, sweet, I'm getting all the available core characters that are out right now. And I'm telling you, the swappable characters are fun, and it's cool. It's a little overwhelming to have so many selections to swap between, but the new core characters are far more fun than anything, including the original core characters. They are extremely varied, very thoughtful, super fun to play with. They have wildly different gameplay. I thought there's one character called Slobbertooth, and I was like, this is just like that character Bash. It's the same element. It's kind of the same model. I pop him in, I play for a little bit, upgrade his character, his upgrades. I'm like, oh, this thing is off the hook. It's totally different. He has a running charge move. He can chomp on a guy and spit him out and throw him away. All these different things that the game has not been doing at all. Mm-hmm. And it every time you change, they're very different abilities that you have within it. And so if you have been interested in it and you haven't had the coin to drop into it, you didn't, and it's not possible now to go back and like buy all the available characters that were ever out, unless you're willing to drop $300 on some of them on eBay. But if you started with just the Swap Force game and picked up some of the cool, your favorite looking ones, Swap Force characters that are out on the shelves right now, you would have a fantastic time with this game.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm saying if you haven't played Giants, you don't need to go back and play Giants. Jump to this game, and you will be extremely pleased. That's where you never play Giants, right?
No, I haven't yet. Yeah. Because I told Jacob we had to finish the first one before we could move on.
Don't bother if you decide to move on.
Okay. Well, because that's what I thought.
I mean, you can get it for like 10 bucks.
It's nothing to get toys for Bob, but it's because obviously this is a new developer. But I think it's interesting to me that, like, oh, so we had Skylanders, and now we made bigger Skylanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Giants. Which came about because in development mode, they just jokingly changed the aspect ratio of one of the characters to 200%. And they're like, oh, it's cool, it's Giant. Okay, that's the next game.
Yeah. While they're, like, testing it.
Yeah, while they're working on it.
Well, so it's like, oh, that's great, but it's like what I was talking about with Arkham Origins, where it's more of the same. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like Giants is. But what you're describing Swap Force is, it's like it's a new start.
It's a new slate.
And
in some places, it kind of hinders them because the first games, all the characters are based on the understanding that you were on a two-dimensional plane, right? Mm-hmm. So all the powers kind of reinforce that. How can I move in this two-dimensional plane? Now, some of those characters and their abilities almost hinder you in this three-dimensional world because they're not as cool or not as powerful. Spyro being one of the most notable of that. I mean, he's the kind of the launch character for the whole franchise, and his super upgradable power is the ability to fly and then smash the ground. In the two-dimensional game, it was very useful to be able to fly and zip around enemies and then smash the ground. In the three-dimensional world, you don't fly high, you just continue to float above the ground, and it becomes very cumbersome because now you're kind of gliding, it's difficult to steer, and then to switch between that and the stomp, it's almost not useful to be able to do that. Mm. Meanwhile, you could put one of the characters that were designed to be in this three-dimensional world, and they just come alive. They're so much fun to interact with. And there's a guy that it's so brilliant and so simple, but there's a Riptide is his name, and he's sort of this like fish superhero looking guy, and he starts with a swordfish that he uses to fight with, and it has quick jabbing modes, and then you throw his other button and he throws the fish away, and it's replaced with a hammerhead shark, which is slower, but he swings like an axe, but it does more damage. And then you hit the throw buttons and he throws that, it does damage, and he gets the sword back. So the same character has two different melee attack modes, and the switching between them is another attack, a throwing mode that makes that a whole thing. So sometimes you're fighting with this fish, you're fighting, and it just the versatility, and that's how the character starts. Then yeah. It has all these upgrades, and you eventually produce a giant whale that you flatten all the enemies in front of you with.
That's great.
It's super fun.
That's cool.
And not to mention all the other aspects to it with the swapping thing. It keeps a track of every combination you've ever done, and it is overwhelming to look at.
So there's
got to
be a trophy for or so
if you get all 256, yeah, but right now there's only 10 of the characters that are available. But so you keep tracking, like, oh, you haven't done this combination yet, and encourages you to put that combination together and be like, oh yeah, that is pretty cool.
I want to say this about that, that I feel like I now have in front of me two solid examples of a new developer taking on an established franchise and doing some amazingly cool things with it. First with Sanzaru, and then now with the new developer for the Skylanders.
Vicarious Games. With terribly awesome respect to the original developer. Right. Not at all sliding, just improving and building on the work that they had already done.
Or maybe improving isn't even, like, I don't think their intent. I think that just doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that the guys that, like, Matt doesn't sit down and go, I mean, I'm sure on some level, but he's not looking at it through the sole goal of how can I make what these guys have built that is really cool and make it better.
Well, that's it. Because you look at even Uncharted, take it out of this realm, and Uncharted 1 is a great game. It was mind-blowing and revolutionizing. And then Uncharted 2 comes along, and people are like, oh, if you liked Uncharted, you should play Uncharted 2. It's so much better.
Yeah.
Same company, and they got better with it. And that happened between Spyro's Adventure and Giants. They were cramming to get this thing together. They had been in development, and then while that game's in development and about to be released, they're developing the sequel. So they're and it got better as well. The Giants, the character models, and even the way the physical things were better painted, more money, more pixels, more all that stuff, better generated, and it just gets better with time. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that by the third chapter, they had passed the baton to someone else to most likely receive the baton back next year. I think whatever Skylander we'll learn about in February that will come out next fall
will be Toys for Bob.
Will be Toys for Bob again. And they got a year off.
It's interesting. And it's, I don't know. I just think it's, I would like to see more examples of this, but I think it's a good thing. I think because one of the things that was interesting in all of our endeavors in talking to the developers of Sly 4 is that the concept of being able to work on a franchise for 10 years is very daunting for a creator. Like, that's not very stimulating to your creative muscles.
Then you ask Kelsey Grammer if that's true.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, I was Frasier for 20 years.
Right. And while I'm sure he appreciates it, but I don't know if he was happy about it. I mean, you know what I mean? There was those shows, Boss.
Oh, no, he loved it. Yeah.
But I'm saying, well, maybe it's, I don't, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No,
I guess
that's a different
point. But
no. Because I do feel a little differently about that when Mr. Kramer brought that up, that I felt like, I get that, but other industries will embrace that. Other industries do that and not have a problem with it.
Oh, I see. They'll do things forever.
Forever. Michael Okada was the technical and creative director of the Star Trek franchise from Next Generation through Enterprise.
But there's here's what I think that is different between those two industries, and I'm going to speak for Matt here, is that there is a level of It's not a flattering word, but I think it's the best one I could come up with, is that there's a level of monotony, a repetition.
That's true.
Within the video game world that you will not find in movie
in
production,
television
production.
That's
especially
probably true.
You know, even radio production. You know what I mean? There's just a level of a grind aspect to it that you do all this, you know, calisthenics in a sense, so that you have like a payoff at the end so you could go, finally, I'm done.
Yeah.
But to be able to go, okay, remember this tale I've been looking at and writing code for the past three years? I'm going to do that for another 8 years.
This is the perfect segue into the topic that I can never stop talking about until everybody starts agreeing with me.
Minecraft.
Which is why how episodic video gaming is the future of the industry, and how Guild Wars 2
Kevin,
is doing it.
The industry agrees with you that Walking Dead was the game of the year last year.
I will smack the taste out of your mouth. Here's the thing. Guild Wars 2 is killing it. And when some money-crunching bean counters in these corporate offices finally go, hey, how come ArenaNet is making money hand over fist, generating new content every 2 weeks now? They were originally doing it once a month. They're now generating new content, free to play, every 2 weeks.
Now, is this new content a sword?
No. So you're just handing me.
That is a bump, my friend.
Whole new zones, like completely remastered areas that take the existing level architecture that was in there and build an entire additional level inside of it and change the entire layout of everything, the sky, the land, the characters in it, the creatures in it.
They're still free to play.
And they're still free to play. You buy it.
Set.
And Spike. You buy it and you own it. And for life, as long as you have internet connection, you have access
to
it.
So how is it that they're affording to have it free to play, you buy it once, and then they're building all this new content?
Because they have an in-game shop that makes it available. So
I buy these new episodes.
No, the episodes are free.
What the hell?
The content is free.
So I buy new swords?
You buy new swords. You buy costumes, you buy swords, you buy kits, you buy upgrades. You can anything in the game.
That is ingenious.
It's brilliant. You can buy anything in the game with either time or money. That's the economy that's set up. Anything.
It's built like a realistic, I'm going to get quasi-political here, but it's built like a realistic, living, breathing economy.
That's exactly
in that you can, you could go through your life in Guild Wars and not pay a cent other than your initial $70, $60 investment.
That's me.
Right? And play all these new episodes and enjoy all the content that we're providing. But it is the people, the haves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To compare to the have-nots. It is the haves who are, in a sense, feeding the beast and sustaining it for the have-nots.
That's exactly it.
It is the same as in America. The 95% of the taxes are paid by the top 5% of earners in the country.
Exactly. And then Bush is like, no new taxes in Guild Wars.
And right. And they read his damn lips.
And I remember that. They build new content in it. It's like some things are things that would make the game more convenient, like extra inventory tabs or whatever. But they don't crunch you. They don't force you into wanting those things by making the game more difficult. It would be nicer if you're like, I would like some more breathing room. Well, then this is available for you if you want to spend the money. If you want,
much like you have that Warbird in Angry Birds, and I'm sorry for such a juvenile example.
No, that's exactly it.
But you could buy a sword or a plate of armor that would make you just a god among men.
You could, but you still have to play the game to make it usable for you. But there are other little things that make it fun. There's a How to Dance Volume 1 purchase that you can make, and it costs like $5 real. The only way to get that – or no, you can play the game to earn enough money – To earn enough real world money. So you can, the fake money converts over to real world money if you wanted to, and vice versa.
Bless you, Arena.
So if you want to buy a really cool costume or whatever, you can use real money, and it works both ways. But then this book allows you to dance and make other people dance, and you get into these giant dance competitions for no reason, just because it's fun. And if I had disposable income and lived in Guild Wars, I would do it all the time. So when the game first was doing this like living world thing, they had planned to update it every month, and then for the past 2 months they've changed that frequency to every 2 weeks. That means right now there are people developing the Christmas edition of whatever Guild Wars is, and the January 2014, and probably there are sketches up on a wall for what they're going to do in February and next summer and so on and so forth. If they release new characters, if they make new playable races, if they release whole new sections of the map, which have made it very clear there's like a giant gaping hole in the middle of the map that you can't get into. It's surrounded by a wall with guards out in front of it of another race of people that say, we're not allowing any outsiders into our world right now. Like, it's a giant love message saying, eventually these guys are going to be playable and this is zone one for them. And that will be, and they've made it very clear, if we do that, there will be no expansions. You will not have to buy another thing. You'll turn on the game one day and they'll be like, hey, do you want to play as this new guy? At the most, you might need to spend $5 to buy another character slot if you've already burned up the $5 that the game came with. And that'll be it. And so they're constantly...
It's always hearing about these kinds of examples. It makes me want to sit in on these meetings because... There's always these examples within an industry where there are people that are doing it in the way that the consumer of that industry looks at and goes, yes, this is what
this
I want.
This is like, what I want.
Even people that don't play MMORPGs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like say you did something along those lines for Madden, right? Like for someone like me where instead of having to buy a new game, like one of the most frustrating things about Madden for me is that I want to play the long game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you got to restart every year with the new roster changes, and if somebody changes a stadium, or
you know what I mean?
Like, there's all that kind of stuff.
Instead, it would be a virtual world that you just roll into year after year after year.
And if they could, if they would build it in a way that it would just, you know, it would be a software update, and I could pay.
Now,
you know,
I understand technologically the console world is very different from the PC world. They have a lot more robust systems. They're not the game can continue to advance without worrying about the architecture of the consoles, because you're not building the console. Like, the owner of the user is responsible for making the console strong enough to handle their game. And if, like, if they begin to upgrade it to a point where, sorry, we no longer support Windows XP, I don't know, some older, and they're like, well, sorry, but they can continue rolling.
No one, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that's so it'll be a little different on the Xbox or the PlayStation. But with the start of a new console generation, you can see where we're moving more and more to digital stuff. You could see where they'd be able to still scale this down to a place that technologically it would be possible. And if you're expected to download and purchase things on day one digital, there's no reason why these sort of releases wouldn't happen now. And ultimately, it's proving that this is free to play. Let's just say we made it not free to play, that the content that was available every 2 weeks was a chapter that you purchased, like an episode of a TV show on Amazon Prime. It still makes sense, because it's a constant, fresh, updated revenue stream, as opposed to building a game for 3 years, wondering if the market is going to like it, and then it hits the thing, and then because of the way six other games came out at the same time, and the market took a dip, and something big happened in the news, and people didn't go out and buy your game, and your window is gone because now it's been out and it's no longer interesting, and that's it. You have a half star on your rating for a game that you spent 3 years building, instead that it's a constant, like, we'll do better next month. We'll build more. We have a more dynamic relationship with our audience. We hear what they want, we'll put that in the game. We hear that, we'll put that in the game. That's what MMORPGs are doing. I'm telling you, this is going to be the future, and somebody is going to write a book later and be like, Guild Wars or Telltale Games, these guys were genius pioneers, and here's what they were doing before anybody else. And I will be screaming in the darkness telling you all, I told you time and time again, this is the future, and nobody listened to me.
How many Skylanders would you like the universe to buy you for being right?
All of them.
All pays off.
I want every Skylander that comes.
By the time this pays off, what, do you think you will have all
of
them?
Yes, I will. Okay. I want a lifetime pass to Skylands. Also, I want
you
Star
want to be
Skylands.
Known as the Portal Master.
I am the Portal Master.
By the way, why have we not changed your middle name to Portal Master?
That is, shouldn't it be Master of All
that
Thieves?
That is a $15 check and a visit to the county clerk. And you could be Kevin,
no, I'd be
the Portal Master
of
Miller.
All Thieves. So then it's like both Cooper and Skylander.
Or what if it was Kevin, the Portal Master Millerevious?
Sold.
Milper? This is falling apart.
Mooper. It's
why not just go
pan.
Cooper?
Oh, that would be good.
Oh, Kevin, the Portal Master Cooper.
We consider naming our child Cooper.
Cooper?
Not true.
Oh, really? I thought
it'd be cool. Oh, there
I
it
thought
is.
At least had to be on the table. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like
I came up. So did Anakin, though. Not my suggestion.
What?
Yeah.
What is wrong with your wife?
Her dad's suggestion. My father-in-law.
Why have we never talked about this?
Said, "Are you going to name your son Anakin?" And I really was like, the fact that it didn't come from my brain makes me really want to do it, because
is he a Star Wars fan?
No, but he knew it was a thing because
but here's the thing. Pasty Ladyface,
as we call him here,
is known for being super, super sweet, right?
Yeah,
he's the nicest
guy
you'll ever come across.
So he knows that I'm into it, so
but
he learned
but that's
enough.
What I'm saying, though. Yeah. He knows that you, but what I want to do is I want to put him in this light. He knows that you're into Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
He thinks Anakin is in Star Trek. So he says, you're going to name him Anakin, right?
That might be true. I hadn't thought of that. That might be true. He might not know that there's
but
a difference.
But secretly, although he is, I think, very hard-pressed to not accept things.
Yeah.
Secretly, he was just trying to go, whew, because maybe, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it came up at the Smethurst Pillow Talk session. And, you know, like, you know, those are my favorite parts of, like, the Meet the Fockers movies where they're talking about the kids in the other room and everything. Because I feel like that's always happened in
my life.
It's
always happened.
And so, So that's what they're saying. They're like, oh, they're having a baby. That's so great. You don't think he's going to name him after some Klingon or something? We don't really know this guy. What if he does? And
we've only met him four times.
We can't go. If we go to our daughter and say, don't name him this, that's almost a shoe-in that they're going to name him that. So, like, he's lobbing it out there for bait.
That's smart, smart. You know well, I mean? Then, just before Quinn was born, I tweeted or Facebook, can't wait to introduce the world to Anakin Data Miller. So we have a friend, Diana Nana, who still calls him Anakin Quinn.
Anakin.
And when she said it, I was like, oh, damn, you're right. He is pretty much Anna Quinn. Although now it sounds like Anna and Quinn
together. What if he grows up and he wants to change his name to Cooper?
He can do whatever he wants. Here's what I've resolved myself to, is that you can only name a child until they're old enough to decide that they want to be called something else. Because Kat changed her name. She was born Catherine. And then
my
decided,
son Spider-Man is very successful.
Exactly. Exactly. So do you want to know why we're smarter than Forbes magazine? They had an article that came out today. This will be a few weeks ago now by the time you're listening to this. But it says the 5 best reasons for buying the Xbox One instead of a PS4.
Wrong.
By David Thayer. There. T-H-I-E-R.
He's already got a stupid
He's
name.
He's thoroughly wrong.
Stuff writes itself.
What kind of guess? What in the world do you think he has to say? What are the 5 reasons?
The number 1 is it comes first.
Okay.
I'll say that. Number 2 is it's
not alphabetically, just numerically based on their surnames.
What do you
Xbox
mean?
One, PS4.
Is that no. Oh wait, it comes out on the 22nd, huh?
Oh, you're talking about release date?
Yeah,
the PS4 beat it.
Oh, then no.
Okay.
All right, scratch that. I think it's that that he's bit on the bait of what PlayStation 3 was for Blu-ray players, and that Xbox is trying to be an all-in-one entertainment system and not just for gamers anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, there's this, I've seen...
You think it's old data?
Yeah, like, it's that, oh, well, you could watch TV shows. So it's like people who even aren't into gaming can enjoy this.
Yeah.
And then there's some kind of, like, Skype interact, you know, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So I think that's one that I've gotten. I don't know off the top of my head. But if there is, I think that they're mostly bullshit titles, but I think it might have more launch titles.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. What's another one? I mean, I don't think Forbes would go into this, but I remember when Sega Dreamcast went under and we were still working at the place of making sounds for video games. Uh-huh. And with a man who hangs from trees. And we said, well, why are you guys only making these for Xbox? And he said, well, you have to have a budget to go into the PlayStation to figure out how to write code for it.
Right.
Whereas everybody knows how to write code for the Microsoft because it's a Windows-based machine. So I guess how many am I up to? 3?
I think that's 4. Yeah.
4? Okay. Am I really playing this game?
No, you did. Those are good guesses. if you don't have to,
that's what I'm asking.
Right.
I'm like, am I playing this right, or did you not really want me to say?
No, I wanted to know what you thought because when I saw it, I was like, what in what basis in what universe? And all this stuff really just comes down to is opinion, really, because we have our opinion, and maybe he's a market researcher that knows the tech gaming industry.
When I hear about these kinds of articles, to me, it means that the market says that the PlayStation 4 is the way to go, so this guy is, I need a hook on an article so that my editor will throw it into a magazine.
That's probably
true. I'm going to swim upstream like a salmon in horny season.
Because then I can get, I think that's true. That's a good call. So the first of his reasons, cloud, the cloud. He says Sony may have
weather?
Bought... Sony may have bought Geica, do you know it? But Microsoft is Microsoft.
Oh, that's that auto insurance.
Mm-hmm, yeah. As the generation continues, we're going to see the true benefits of having the resources of one of the largest tech companies in the world backing your console. Now, if this was true, wouldn't that have been true in 2000 or 1998 when they first launched? Because that would be like saying...
So his reason number one is the cloud.
So, but and then the basis for it is that they understand cloud control better.
because they're
Sony.
Microsoft.
But see, but if that was true, then when Microsoft came into the industry, they would have killed it just the same way that Warner Brothers would have killed it at selling a television network when they came on the market, except for they didn't because they were 80 years behind Fox, or not Fox, but NBC, ABC, and CBS.
When in actuality, I think, in my opinion, it is actually that point that is the reason why it does not surpass.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is they're taking their computer brains and they're bringing them to the video game world.
Exactly.
All the PlayStation is a console for gamers.
Yep, yep.
That's it. That's all it's trying to be, with a few icing stuff on the side that is probably only in there to make it better for playing games, and a subsequent, like the way Viagra
like
was discovered.
Like actual ISA.
You know what I mean?
Like I don't know that story.
They were trying to figure out blood pressure medicine, and so they realized that all these rats were getting boners. And that's how they found Viagra. That's why they tell you that if you have a sudden loss of vision, you need to contact your doctor, because that means your blood pressure has dropped at a very dangerous level.
Oh, interesting.
And that if you are taking nitrates for chest pain, you can't take this because it'll lower your blood pressure way too much.
You know an awful lot about this.
Huh? What?
Are you going blind?
I have erectile dysfunction.
Dun, dun, dun. Number two.
Oh, I'm a comedian. You have to know about Viagra. People talk about this all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Number two, the Kinect.
That's it?
Yep. The Kinect never quite found its footing on the Xbox 360. So solid.
So
point.
Definitely
solid
gonna
point.
Around,
solid
yeah.
point.
It's going to come around now since they've made it just standard.
So 2 points that would have been good points 10 years ago, but now, but Microsoft believes in this technology. Oh well, then belief, as we all know, equals reality.
These guys got that secret book. That's all they're doing.
Exactly.
They put the word number one on their secret board.
It's a fully featured depth sensing camera that, in my limited time with it so far, oh, you're really backing your point up here, Forbes, appears to be a huge improvement over the original. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, controller.
Oh.
All right.
PlayStation 4 doesn't have those?
Yeah, you want to see no camera? Here you go.
Wii U doesn't have that? Wii U doesn't have a superior controller to the Xbox One?
The DualShock 4 is a big improvement over the DualShock 3. That's his nod to the PS4. But the Xbox controller is still a beautiful little piece of industrial design. That's all insider BS. Who cares? The Xbox One controller doesn't fix what isn't broken, but it builds on the now classic design in every way. How can you say that the Xbox is a more classic design? The PlayStation controller outdates it by an entire generation. The PlayStation controller is the same controller in look and feel as the PS1, which was out 6 years before the Xbox controller showed up, which was a giant hunk of plastic.
Right.
So the Xbox 360 controller is only a 7-year-old classic design.
And it only looks the way it looks because I think it has to not look identical to the PlayStation. Like,
exactly.
I find it very hard-pressed that people... I mean, like, you can love your Xbox, and I don't think either one of us don't love your Xbox, but I...
But this is quickly becoming no different than a high school rant against something that they are woefully uninformed about.
Right.
This is all just hearsay.
Like, if the very this is what makes me think that it is them just trying to swim upstream.
Yeah.
Because the very points that they're making are actually the points that are the reason why the Xbox is. You could say things like Gears of War and Halo are far superior first-person shooters than any title available on the PlayStation.
That would be a solid point.
Is a solid reason why. In fact, that all of my reasons were, honestly, I was trying to find BS reasons that this idiot came up with, because it just doesn't make sense to me. But when
neither
you say,
have a hologram technology. It's like saying we know that all-wheel drive is not efficient for cars that drive in the city. So this new line of cars that are designed for the city with all-wheel drive are going to succeed.
Right. Right. Or also that everybody likes to drive a Lamborghini. So what we've made is a 3-wheel motorcycle. Like, that to me is what it, like, because when you hold a, I think even people who love Xbox, when you hold a PlayStation controller, that is what they evolutionarily, they have peaked at the ergonomic design of a video game controller.
Yeah.
Like, they've nailed it, where your thumbs can work analog joysticks and reach buttons, and then there's triggers all in the right spot.
Here's what Hacka McHackerson goes on to say about that. Offset analog sticks remain a great way to game. And rumbling triggers actually make the experience feel different. It's also better balanced and has an improved D-pad. We've come a long way since the dinner plates. I don't know what that reference is. But
the dinner plates of the, I know what he's talking about. There was the circles. So,
Yeah.
But it's not Nintendo. It's whatever. There was just two directional pads, in a sense.
Yeah, that were all way back in the day. Yeah. See, again, it's all good. We're all entitled to our opinion. Obviously, Justin and I very much stand on the side of Sony on this one.
No, I think this guy's great. Did that come across?
But why I feel like we have the right to load our bazooka on this is that he's writing for Forbes magazine, right, which is supposed to be...
This isn't a blog spot.
Yeah, exactly. This is like a legitimate...
Yes.
And these are people that... He probably wears a suit to work. Like, has he picked up a controller outside of watching his kid play a game for 20 minutes? Number four, exclusives. This might be to your point. Software sells hardware. Titanfall is probably the next-gen game that has generated more buzz than any other, and it's not coming to PS4. One day, we get LocoCycle, Rise, Dead Rising, Forenza, Fighter Within, and Crimson Dragon. Quality-wise, that's a little more to play with than on the PS4. In the future, I'm very curious to see what the Project Spark can bring to the table, which, if you are a longtime listener to the show, will know that is the one thing that made me think that an Xbox One was worth purchasing. It looks like something like their response to Little Big Planet. So, they're kind of titles, is his fourth point. And number five.
But all of the titles, like that title.
None of those titles,
I don't feel like I've heard anything about.
I didn't recognize half of those.
And you know everything.
I mean,
honestly, like you.
It's not like I don't pay attention to this.
Exactly. Your thumb is on the finger of the pulse.
Damn you.
Video game world.
You misspeak once.
In a very funny manner.
And it haunts you for the rest of your life.
Why don't you call Dan Whitney and see what he thinks?
Number five.
That's Larry the Cable Guy, for those of you who don't get that joke.
Much entertainment. You're going to love this one. Much to the chagrin of gamers everywhere, Microsoft chooses to focus on TV and entertainment options in its Xbox One reveal rather than games. So why is that a good thing? Let's find out.
That's my point. He writes for Forbes magazine and not... Gamer power, Nintendo power.
Exactly.
I realize there are no real video game magazines that aren't immediately associated with the actual consoles. And
IGN.
Brand. Okay, IGN. If he wrote for IGN and he made that comment, that he would be fired immediately.
Yeah,
but because
this is like...
It's like what I was saying is that my Xbox One is trying to say we're an entertainment center. You can watch TV through us.
Yeah.
We want to replace your cable box and that kind of stuff.
It's like he just did a Google search on words that are in the gaming industry and then included them in this article. But by now, we know that the system has games and exclusives aside. There's a lot on the same side of that the PS4 has. A wealth of entertainment options, complete with Kinect controls, represent a valuable expansion to the capabilities that Microsoft slowly added to the Xbox 360 over the course of the previous generation. Microsoft's partnerships with companies like Time Warner, Verizon, Comcast, and the NFL make a very attractive option to gamers with cable. Plus, a Halo series produced by Spielberg is hard to argue with. Yes, it is. It is not hard to argue with. That sounds great, but I want to play video games. I honestly, if given a night off, one-tenth of the time I will watch a TV show. One-third of the time I watch a movie. The rest is gaming. If I have time on my hands, I'm going to choose gaming almost every time over the others.
Well, what they're talking about with television is that here's the thing. There is nothing that they are going to be able to offer on the Xbox One that you cannot achieve in some way on the PlayStation 4 other than exclusive titles.
Other than exclusive, yeah.
So to say that what we've done is we've made it television. Well, all PlayStation 4 has to say, you could get an Amazon instant video on there. You can watch Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah. In fact, they even mentioned that at E3. They said the PlayStation 3 is the number one device for streaming Netflix.
Right.
And then he almost said
their software, until recently, their software is better than anything else other than maybe your computer. Like, I had it on TiVo, and it was clunky as hell. And then one day I was on the road, and I watched it on a PlayStation. I was like, why is the TiVo not have the same software interface? Yeah, yeah. Like, this is horrible.
Because they had it worked out. And that's the thing. When he said it, he almost said it apologetically, like, I'm sorry that you're watching the Netflix. We want to make it a gaming device, but we put this on here, and it's really successful. Yeah. I'm sorry. But it's your fault.
Yeah. I mean, it's your fault because you like watching Netflix.
You like it.
So we gave you what you wanted.
Yeah, and it was
Don't be angry at us.
But moving on.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the room is like, yeah, I have my friend's Netflix account on my PlayStation. Of course I do.
Now,
it's like it comes standard.
To go also to his point about, like, the excitement of the launch titles, I'm a guy who, I have my pinky on the finger of the pulse. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have your thumb.
Yeah.
That's a larger appendage.
Which is problematic because the thumb has its own pulse.
Ugh, yeah. But that's for you to figure out, not me. I can't be in your shoes in that.
Or my glove.
Or on your neck. And so, my point is that I am unbelievably excited at whatever Watch Dogs is.
Yeah.
And to further my point, I don't know what it is, but I'm excited for whatever it is.
Yeah.
I could not tell you other than I think I heard Frenza and what sounded like a volleyball game on there. Like, there was no, like, to me, when I think Xbox, I think Gears of War and I think Halo. Is that fair?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Those are them.
I don't even know Spark, but it's also because I'm not in the Little Big Planet world either.
Project Spark is the completely user-generated video game developing universe.
Not exciting to me.
Yeah.
Now, maybe exciting to people within that world, but not exciting to where when you are writing for Forbes magazine, which is not a gaming magazine, mm-hmm. and so you're saying to the general public, this is why I think you will prefer an Xbox One.
Yeah.
You are wrong on all levels. Because I would say, I would consider myself in that ranking. Like, if 10 is a guy like you, and 1 is who he's writing for, I think I'm a solid 5.
Okay.
I really feel strong. Like, I could fit right in the middle of those two worlds.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it going, no. There's no way. There's no way. And I'm looking at the ones
going,
you might
be a 3.5, but
okay.
But
really? You think I thought I was a little undergenerous. I might have gone 6 or 7.
No, you're more gamey than you let on. I mean, you just said you would rather spend a
day. I'm saying 1 is a person that he's writing that for, in that these are people that don't really know about gaming.
Got it. Then you're like a 7.
Okay,
got
great.
It. Yeah.
So, but I think I would be looking at the ones going, no, trust me.
Yeah.
I don't really even know what the PlayStation 4 has to offer. But I'm telling you, you will be happier. Because you know why? I know a ton of people, and this is what I wish we would have been able to talk to Christian about this, but even, like, here's a point. Even our quote-unquote expert on the Xbox has a PlayStation 3.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know of one guy that I used to travel with that only has an Xbox, and I would be like, why don't you have the PlayStation? He goes, Xbox is a far superior machine.
Mm-hmm.
I go, how? It's just superior.
Yeah, I love that argument.
Like, it's just
it looks better. Like, but it's funny because when I play, I hear when you play Red Dead on that, it'll crash. So why is
How
that more
many,
superior?
What color is the Ring of Death on the PlayStation? What is that? I can't remember. What color? What color was that? I guess black?
When it doesn't work? Yeah. Good call. And that's the thing. You know, here's the deal. Let the great debate begin. I am extremely eager for the...
I feel like this is Catholics and Protestants.
Yeah, or...
They're all really kind of preaching, like, the same message. You know what I mean?
Almost, because I feel like it might be more like Mormons and Protestants.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Because the Xbox is willingly opening its arms and encompassing more things than is originally part of the message.
And Spark allows you to create magical underwear.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've learned. But, I mean, that's the thing. I'm eager to see how this plays out because I am a gamer. And PlayStation and Sony have said, we are making a gamer's console. We even want to tackle you effers who are playing PC games. Like, that's the market
we're going for.
The guys that are playing PC games on the fourth console.
Because if you're a hardcore gamer who has a console, you are still 47,000 rungs below a hardcore gamer on a PC.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, these are guys that carry their towers and have them tricked out with neon and just do nothing but upgrade them.
And yeah, invest in that, know the boards and what's and the newest hardware. And
I called because for another reason, but I called to make sure I had the highest broadband that I could get. And I have the 35 megabytes download and 5 megabytes upload.
Nice.
And I could pay a $200 one-time setup fee and get new equipment to have 100 megabytes download.
Ooh.
And I was like, well, I'm just trying to decide if I need it. And he goes, well, do you do a lot of gaming? And my first thought was like, that is only for a PC gamer. Solely for like a StarCraft
right,
of those guys who has this
Warcraft,
humongous graphics that need, or Warcraft. Yeah, you're right.
Well, even then, it's funny because the processing is going to be the same. The information's the same. It's just how your computer renders. All the rendering happens on your end. They're not streaming you the video.
Oh, that's right. It's all on your end.
Unless you're doing video stuff. I think with the new PS4 thing, we'll see some of that. Or if you were doing like on live where it's all done in the cloud, but like World of Warcraft or Guild Wars or any of those games.
Even when you're playing with other people, it's all based on your machine.
Yeah, they're telling you, you're here, but how you make it look is up to
your
machines.
It's already figured out on your, I see. So it's more like a GPS coordinate of where the other people are rather than downloading a rendered version of a level.
That would not be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you had 100 megabytes.
Yeah, that would take you like a portal.
Yeah.
A T1.
Well, thank you, Forbes, for your extremely shitty article.
We have so much we wanted to talk about. We'll have to get to the love story someday. Yeah. It will come. And you're going to have to tell us about Last of Us.
Oh.
And so much.
I feel like I already did.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I talked about how it ended. Yeah, I did.
Oh, when did you do that?
I did that last time we did this at the beginning of October.
Oh, well then, just real quick, then every time you bring it up, if you can bring up my mic, I gotta play you this song. There's a Christian artist by the name of Chris Tomlin. He writes just about every popular worship song that's been released in the past 10 years, and he has a song called "Not to Us." And every time I hear "Last of Us," this song gets played in my head, and it's we're gonna hear an ad. Stupid. Google.
Son of a mother.
Why?
Why do you hate us?
Why do you hate us all? And it's funny, if you go to church, maybe you do the same thing, but I know you probably don't. When you hear Last of Us, it doesn't pop into your head.
No, I do not. I think of, I keep forgetting her name, but I think of the little girl, and I think of the barnacle-looking guy from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Who is that? Nosferatu?
No, he's the guy that has like a shell that wraps up out of his head.
Is his name?
Natalie did his Home Loan.
Is he going to play music? Does it, is his name Last of Us?
I don't remember. No. The infected in Last of Us become like barnacle-esque.
Got it.
And they look like things from a tide pool.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic on a zombie infectious state, you know? Where they become like callous, like calcified and things, and yeah, it's very interesting.
This is the game that people told me that I should play.
Yes, we covered that too. Where I finished the game and I said, yeah, no, this
don't
is not.
Don't bother it. Now watch some cutscenes.
Everybody was wrong.
That's how I decided. Okay, it's coming up. That's how I decided whether or not I was going to get Dead Space because
this is the theme song from Last of Us. That is crazy.
Buzz. It's Last of Us. Oh, yeah. Wait, that's not it. But that's the part where he says not to us.
Yeah. That's it.
Wait, we have to get to the hook. Meanwhile, I'm looking at all these, like, there's this whole subculture that you're not aware of that is, like, Christian worship music and everything. And they have these giant concerts and whatever. You've been to a couple, I guess, when you were at Great America.
Yeah, but State Man some.
They're notorious. Last of Us is a game
that was Nolan North as a supporting character instead of a main guy because Naughty Dog just likes him a lot. And who wouldn't?
They just integrate all these pictures of beaches and farmland. Like, that's all I'm looking at on the screen is pictures of beaches and farmland and
candles.
That's
the video? The music video?
Yeah, that's the background to whoever put this together. And I don't understand Middle America and why they...
Quick anecdote, I stage managed a concert for they used to do two worship weekends at Great America, and they would have, like, The Newsboys, isn't that a popular?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So those kind of, and there
in
was
Jars
a,
of Clay, right?
Huh?
No? Okay.
I don't know.
That's another Christian band.
Maybe this was there was a group that was on stage, and we had an ordinance. That's a munitions. an ordinance is also a rule, like a law or something.
A city ordinance. Yeah, I know. I'm on board.
So we had an ordinance with the city of Santa Clara saying that we would stop playing music, and that nothing that was louder than 100 decibels could be played after 11 p.m.
In a city right next to an airport. Go on.
The airplane stopped.
Oh, here in Burbank.
Yeah, so the headliner got on a little bit late and was running long, and this was my first year doing this, and it was the early Christian celebration in spring, and I was like, oh, boy. And so it looks like these guys are playing, and that I'm going to have to go out there and tell them we got to shut it down. Now, knowing then what I know now, I would have just said, everybody's going to be fine, and let them hit the theme park with a fine. The theme park will pass it on to the band, and everybody walks away happy. Yeah, they're not going to let you, Captain $13 an hour, go in there and solve
shut
all
this
these
thing
problems.
Down. Yeah.
But I, because I was ignorant and young, went out to the guy and
you
just
thought your job was at risk,
right?
Yeah,
not my job. I just thought it was my job, and I've always done my job.
Well
and
done.
So,
well said.
So I go out there, and they're finishing up a song. And it's a long walk from backstage out to the middle of this auditorium. And I get just up to about the booth, and the lead singer goes, "And now we pray."
Oh, nice.
And everybody, including their stage manager and lighting guy, is all praying. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like sitting there watching, 3,000? Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, more. That stadium was huge.
So 5,000?
Yeah.
So 5,000 people praying, and I'm standing there waiting to go. And he's talking into the mic, and I'm looking. We have a decibel meter that's up there, and it's because it's at a concert, above 90. And and I'm like, oh, geez, and
hope he doesn't start singing.
As long as he says amen and we all go home, he starts to launch into a song, then we're hosed.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's 10:58, and I'm like,
it was late. Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so then by the time the prayer was over, it was like 11:02.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I hate to be a jerk because they launched into a song. I go, but we're supposed to be done. I go, you guys started late. I go, and the city could technically fine us for the noise. And he goes, okay. And he was just dismissive of me. Okay, well, we'll play one more song and then we'll be done.
They played
three more songs.
Of course.
And didn't get off until like 11:30. Wow. And I just kind of gave up. But I just thought it was that's why I brought it up. It's just a weird thing. And every time I think of Christian music, I think of that time that I had to go. I literally was like, and now we pray. I went, okay. I just had to stand there and wait for everybody to stop praying so that I could say, hey, thanks for that, but could you shut this down?
Stop connecting.
And I kept thinking about the dynamic. Yeah, exactly. The dynamic of them having a conversation with God and then right after going, this needs to stop.
We need to shut it down.
To stop. Thank you for your patronage.
I hope they were kind to you.
No, they're not kind. They're very rare. It's the joke of it, and it's not, I don't think, a real representation. It's more an ironic thing, but that the highest rate of theft was always those weekends.
And
so,
which having worked at a church for as long as I have, it makes a lot of sense to me now. At the time, I wanted to tell you that it was the Christians' friends that they brought in, that it was like, hey, come to Great America, it's a free day, and the people that they were trying to minister to were nefarious criminals. The truth is, the those of us who go to the church are the people that are recognized that we're really fracked up and we need God.
Yeah.
And we're the ones that are most tempted to make the really stupid mistakes, like steal from a theme park on the day. So it makes complete sense to me that would be the day that they're like, lock up the goods, the Christians are coming to town.
My whole concept behind it, too, is that part of the, I don't think it was the intent, but part of the idea is that you can mess up and then say, I'm sorry, and everything is fine.
No, it's,
you know what I mean?
That, if you're stupid, that's definitely
part
of it.
Well, most people who steal are, I think.
That's probably true. That might be true.
Yeah.
But there are people that, you make a mistake all the time and you want to stop making that mistake, but you just can't.
Right.
And I think that
there's a reason why, like in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say find religion.
Release control. Find God. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this got really gamey.
Robot rock. All right. well, that was our show. So if you have your, please just send in your story of Christian rock next week for us to read in probably the second quarter of 2014.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe third quarter of 2015. We'll
yeah,
see.
Get your votes in. We're going to do best of soon and our predictions for 2015.
Right. Don't forget to vote for J-Dobbs Rosa's game, which you should select. Was that last week or this week?
That was last week. But it's
bring it up again, guys. Yeah, we haven't decided. Evidently, we're on the fence on that.
Yeah.
Unless it's already been decided, in which case, save your vote, save your email.
We're going to take a little more time off, aren't we? No, we're going to be ahead. Never mind. Next time, all about Carmen and Stanford. Just get a fear from San Diego.
Not really their names.
And it's going to be great.
All right. Send us an email to show@GamerlandPodcast.com. Join the conversation on Facebook at Facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast. Follow us on Twitter @GamerlandPod. Go ahead and go to Facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series. We're going to Betty White this bitch and make it happen,
bam!
Captain. On behalf of my new friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye. Portal Masters.